Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. This is More Than Just a Podcast. Season 8. Episode 15, and I welcome back, not that they'd ever left, young Georgie. Good evening, Georgie. Where are you and what are you doing?
You're the one that left, Sean.
Yeah,
you left halfway through a podcast. Yeah, I'm recording a podcast with you and I'm in a spare bedroom.
Okay. Johnny, welcome back. Where are you and what are you doing?
I'm glad to be back. I'm in my loft talking to you.
And our long-lost friend, Nigel, welcome back. Where are you and what are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Oh, you are in your shed?
I'm in my shed.
Yay. Is it cold in your shed?
It's all just the controls. You'd have had a few diddle-a-da-da's. And
I put the heater on.
A bit delayed.
I rang ahead and had the heater put on.
All right, nice.
Yes.
Wasn't one of those hive things you can turn on.
Hives, that's what you get on your face, isn't it?
No, Hive is some kind of app that you control heating from your phone.
Is it? Oh, anyway, no. We've got a thermostat.
It's not a heating podcast.
Yeah. It's not a smart home tech podcast, Sean.
It's not. Anyway, we've won some games, boys.
Hey.
And I've watched a game. Hey! So I can talk about it. I think we had one or a couple of people say, why did you come on if he hasn't watched the game? It's really no point at all.
It's a fair point.
We have. Well, to be fair, it's normally no point at all anyway. But I mean,
I did ask last week. I said, do you want me to come on? And anyway, let's start with Cardiff. Now, none of us went to Cardiff, did we? If we're honest.
John did.
No. Oh, John did. You're right. Sorry. I can't believe that. Sorry, John. I get so used to you not going to an evening game. Actually, everybody else but John went. John hates evening games. So let's start with you, John, because you actually went. Well done, by the way.
Thank you. Round of applause. Loyal supporter.
Tell us about the game then.
It was great. We won.
We won.
We did.
Do you remember who scored the goals, what the score was?
It was not really. It was it was a very poor first half. They got a penalty. It was a good save. That was a poor penalty.
Poor penalty, yeah.
It looked like it was going to be another one of those. And then we came out in the second half, a different team, and Perez was on fire. And he scored a couple of goals and... Obviously, we let one in right at the end to some people's pleasure and to some people's disappointment, George and George.
Yep.
But, yeah, it was very similar to this Saturday, actually. It was really disappointing at half-time, thinking, God, this is rubbish. And then second half, it's such a big change. It was pretty decent atmosphere second
Good.
Half. So, yeah.
Who'd you go with? Were you Billy No Mates? Or
I went up and down there, up there on my own and back on my own. But yeah, I met George and that lot up there, George and his family.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Well, since that's a good link to George, another George, your son George.
Hello.
What was your excuse of not going? And did you watch the game?
I didn't really have an excuse, to be honest. Just didn't really fancy it and was working and all that. I watched it. I was watching the first half, thinking typical West Ham, beat Newcastle 3-0, away from home, presented with probably one of the, on paper, the easiest games of the season against Cardiff at home. And for the first 45 minutes, you know, we should have gone 1-0 down. I think it was a penalty.
Yeah.
I think it was a bad penalty, the actual penalty itself. But obviously Fabianski made the save. And then second half, yeah, was impressed. I mean, I think we scored quite early, and that was it. We were off and outplayed them. And then obviously the spawny goal at the end ruined a bet that I had lesson learned there, never cash out.
Oh, you cashed out, did you? Tell us a story about that.
I had a pound on three teams' results and both teams to score, and in the 92nd minute, Skybet offered me £4, and I just couldn't think of scoring. So
£4,
cashed out for £4, and would have won 74. So it's a shame. Oh well,
Nigel. Now you are a loyal supporter who would usually go to an evening game. So you must have had a really good reason not to go.
No, I don't think it was really good. To be fair, I was work 5 o'clock the next morning. And I had to take my van. So there's nowhere to park a van full of tools around that stadium that I'd feel confident. And
that's still weird.
Yeah, and if I'd left my van at work, leaving it somewhere safe with all the tools in is one thing, and then getting a train home, I don't normally get home till midnight on a night game. The fact that I had to be there again like 5:30 in the morning, it was just like, do you know what? It's on telly. I'll watch it at home. So if it weren't on telly, I probably would have gone, to be fair.
But you did watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah, I watched it. Oh, yeah.
Can you give us your words of wisdom, having a different perspective to the other two? Otherwise, it would just be boring if you say the same as the other two.
Yeah, I'll try and be different. But the first half was crap. It was a penalty. It was, you know, Arnautovic shoulder barged the geezer over. We got out of jail there. The mark of a manager for me is his chance to really change the game is at half time with his half time team talk. And obviously Pellegrini worked his magic, and it paid off. It was good to see Perez weigh in with a couple of goals. Antonio as well. Got a run out and got his goal. And an all-round, I think it showed as well, you know, we were worried before early in the season about not having Arnautovic and that what would it do to the team. And perhaps the Cardiff was a window into a world without Arnautovic and that we can live without him.
Yeah, right. I certainly agree with that. I think it was, in some ways, it's good to be without Marko Arnautovic. And one of our readers sort of mocked me for suggesting that it was time to dump Marko Arnautovic out of the fantasy team and said I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, I had the last laugh because he's now injured to January, out for at least 6 weeks, and I put in Chicharito. And look what he's done. There you go.
Well done.
Anyway, let's talk about Stat Attack because I know you like that. West Ham had 61% of the possession, which meant they had 39%. West Ham had, this is dizzy heights, 17 shots, 11 on target to Cardiff's 9 shots, 5 on target. So worthy winners to record our second win on the trot, on the bounce. And, you know, I think Perez had something to prove. It's a shame that he's now injured himself. I don't know how he's long out for, but he's done his foot in now, hasn't he?
I don't think he injured himself, did he?
All right, someone stepped on him or something.
Is that what? Is that why he went off on Saturday, was it?
Yeah, he posted
a... we haven't got the Palace game yet. Go on.
he posted a picture of himself with blood on his foot. So yeah, he's out for a little
while. Looked like they just took him down off the cross, to be fair.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? So that was our second win on the bounce. And I think you even put on the Facebook page, because one of our listeners asked, how long was it since West Ham won 3 on the bounce, just before our Palace game? And you answered, Nigel?
March 2016, wasn't it? March 2016 was 3 on the bounce, yeah.
Who was it? Let's see if you can remember.
Oh, it seems like Everton, Sunderland, and one other team. Was it Norwich?
Spurs.
Right.
Yeah, under Slaven Bilic. So that's a great segue through to the Palace game.
When was the last time we got 3 goals in 3 games? We won.
That was 1982. Yeah. That was 1982. Last time we got 4 on the trot was under Sam Allardyce.
Yeah.
As Nigel. I mean, in fact, shall I tell the story now and then say how I used all your information? We'll keep the listeners waiting for that ditty.
Okay. I bet they can't wait.
You'll hear that DS tale after this review of the Palace game. So we all went to the Palace game. It was George's stag do. It was a joint effort, a stag do as well. So let's start with you, Georgie. We won. First time in the trot.
We did.
What? Yeah. We even made it on time, didn't we? We were there for kickoff, me and you.
Yeah, we were there first. John was a little bit late. But the game kind of followed a similar pattern to Tuesday night, really. You know, we perhaps performed a little bit better in the first half, but went in 1-0 down and came out flying again. And 2 quality goals. Actually, 3 quality goals, really. I think Hernandez was a proper good finish from a difficult angle, and the ball was bouncing, and he did well to follow it up in the first place. So, 3 good goals, and then obviously a little bit of lack of concentration again from a set piece, and conceded another fairly late goal. And I didn't really feel too threatened, but maybe expected it to be real, and I put a bet on that just to cover it. But gladly, it didn't come true, and we have got 3 wins on the bounce.
Yeah, magic. John, I know you got there late, but I think you saw most of the action, did you?
I walked in just as we kicked off, actually, Sean.
No, you didn't. You were after kickoff. You didn't see Bubbles. I was singing Bubbles. Got a little video.
I walked into the ground at 5. I walked in.
Yeah, you went to get a hot dog.
Yeah,
12
inch. Right. And then we actually walked into the stadium at 3:05. So I just missed Chicharito's miss. And then just got away from you because you'd had about 2 beers and were cuddling everybody.
And then, yeah, that's true.
And then turned around and they scored. So
soft goal.
Was.
Yeah. Was goal. Fabianski mistake, actually, I think. I don't know what you think.
I don't know. I've seen it again since. It was just, possibly it was just poor round. But yeah, it was very similar, like everyone said, to Monday. Last week, and we just basically come out again second half and score some blinding goals. Anderson's goal was class, but they're all class goals, but Anderson's was just, obviously the confidence is coming through on the lad, and we're looking good. So it was a great result and a good day had by all.
Good. Nigel, yes. Last but not least, say something interesting about beating the Eagles.
Eagles.
So my Crystal Palace mate texts me at 3:07. Oops, South London's finest. To which I text him back, don't peak too early. And then when we went 2-0 up, I text him the same thing saying, don't. When we went 2-1 up, I text him back saying, cough. Which, yes, he then says, normal service has been resumed. Which it was, wasn't it? Realistically, we have an habit of doing Palace at home. again, the pattern followed the Cardiff game almost to a T, except Palace got their goal. I think it was a bit harsh to say Fabianski put fault there. Bad defending. Declan Rice played him on, dropped a bit deeper, and played McCarthy on after the head ball was headed back across.
He did.
I thought we got out of jail a bit with the free kick, with the Jovovic. And that weren't my
who?
Internet stuttering, that was me. But Jovovic, I don't know how his name. Anyway, when he crashed that free kick, I mean, he hit it so hard, the ball went back further over his head before it bounced. And, you know, fortune smiled on us then. I think if we'd gone 2-0 down, I don't know if it, you know, may have been a bit different. But we come out, good to see Snodgrass score. Perhaps I thought their keeper could have done better, perhaps, but he probably looked up like we did and thought, oh, it's only Snodgrass shooting. And didn't expect him to pull that out of the bag.
Wasn't it good, though?
Yeah, no, great shot. Anderson, I can't work him out. 50% of the game, he's not at the races. He loses the ball. And then 50% of the game, the man's outstanding.
So his little back flip. When
The Canio-esque. The little drag the ball behind the heel and flick it down the line. Tomasu Aku, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, running, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I also really liked the way he set himself up for his goal.
Yeah.
The way he had the ball on the edge and just sort of rolled it from out under his foot.
Looked up and it was like nonchalant, wasn't it? Just curled it out and into the top corner. The man's getting better and better. And I was listening to a podcast today about Lazio, and it was the English boys that were talking, and they were bemoaning the fact that they had lost Philippe Anderson. So, you know, that's their loss.
I've just done an article tonight how an agent proposed him to the club before Pellegrini joined, and they'd scouted him before Pellegrini could join. So they already had a dossier on him. So that when Pellegrini came in and said, I want him to be my number one target, they'd already watched him half a dozen times and they had a dossier.
I mean, you would expect that from a club in the Premier League if they've got a decent scouting network, which
scouting network
West Ham are normally three words that don't go with the other two. Yeah. So, you know, that's good to see that. I don't know if that means Sullivan's claiming it, is he?
No.
I don't know, just out of curiosity, you know. Why would you write an article saying...
No, I'm not saying anything like that. Oh, you wasn't. This is an agent story, not a club story. The agent claimed that Anderson has the potential to be better than Mohamed Salah. I can't even say it.
Who?
Salah. Mohamed Salah.
All right.
There you go. Do you think he could be better than Mohamed Salah? No. All right. Anything more to say on Palace?
Anything more to say on Palace? No. Not from me. No.
Oh. So, stat attack, 48% for West Ham, which meant that Palace had the majority at 52% of the possession. West Ham had 13 shots. Whoa. 6 on target. 3 of them went in. And Palace had 8, 4 on target. 1 of them went in. 2 of them went in. I missed one because, as John would tell you, I missed the first goal because why did I miss the first goal, West Ham goal, John?
Someone was standing up in front of him.
No, go on, tell it. I know you're going to say it anyway.
Oh, I'm not going to say anything. You tell
it. Go on, say it. Go on, say it.
Right. No, go for it.
All right, George, you say it.
Because you were buying all the pies.
I went to buy a pie. I'll tell you another story, right? And this really pissed me off, right?
What's your opinion of the game, Sean?
I'll come to that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
I went to buy 5 beers at half time, and it was my turn. So I went down at 38, and I said, 5 beers, please. And they said, you only can buy 4. And I said, well, and they said, you're going to have to queue up again to get a 5th beer, because apparently it's a maximum of 4 drinks. Now, it's all pre-poured, so what's all that about? you're not allowed to buy more than 4 alcoholic drinks per person. But you're allowed to then join the queue and buy another 4.
You know what you need to do?
Yeah.
You need to contact your West End representative on the SAB.
It's not called the SAB.
Oh, sorry. But if you contact your West End representative, because we all must know who he is sitting in the West End, because we've all been told, surely.
It's the chairman, David Baker.
Oh, is it?
Yes, right. Yeah. I know who
it is. There you go. So contact him, and obviously he'll sort it out for us, because he's like,
well,
representing he is actually, the West End.
You should say that. He is, actually. It's on the agenda.
Can you get him to look at the TVs in the concourse as well?
Yeah, yeah, we can add it all
in. TV repairman, is that what he does for a living?
Anyway, one last story about, and then I'll talk about the game. We met a chap called Ethan. Hello, Ethan, if you're listening. I was approached. Yeah, actually, it came through Ian Dale.
Ethan, hello. Was that his last name? You just called him Ethan.
Ethan. He is doing a degree in
geography.
Geography, not geology, as I said.
Before we met this guy, Sean told me that he was doing a PhD,
in football management. Fandom.
And I said, PhD in football. And Sean was like, yeah. I thought you saw that. I was going to make him a doctor of football. I was like, I'm not sure that that's the thing.
Yeah, he's doing a degree in geology.
Geography.
And he's doing it about the London Stadium. And he came through Ian Dale's West Ham Till I Die on the website there. And Ian passed him over. And ages ago, I agreed to meet him at the supporters club. And he asked about moving and whether it was a good thing and how it affected the community and all these things.
Like, you know.
Yeah, and I did all my, you know, brand, good for move, we had to move, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a positive thing for Stratford, maybe a negative thing for East Ham, but, you know, I gave analogy of the coal mines, things have to move on. And then I introduced him to Nigel to give a completely different view. And I gave him copies of the London Stadium survey. So it will be interesting to see how his thesis comes out.
What survey?
His what?
The survey we do, the London Stadium survey I do each year in March. Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed the game because I did have 2 pints and a 3rd pint at half time. So as John said, I was very touchy feely. I thought it was a good atmosphere. I thought there was a good lot of banter, especially with every time we scored a goal, because Palace were giving it all up, you know, and when they scored, and they shut right up in the second half. Game of 2 halves, I know the old cliche. But I want to single out my mate, Little P, Chicharito. I thought he had a really good game, not only because I put him in my dream team, but 1 goal, 1 assist. I really think Chicharito is finally showing us why we spent 16 million. Again, he's come out of the shadow of Marko Arnautovic. And I think it's really working well and we're playing to his strengths. And I think either John or George said this. When he scored his goal, one of them turned to me and went, that's what he does. He's the fox in the box. That's what he does. Who was that? Was that you, John?
George, probably.
I'm a big fan of his. I don't think he's showing us why we spent £16 million. I think he's showed enough in his career to warrant paying him what we've paid for him. I'm just glad that he's starting to do it for us.
But he had a really good game on Saturday, second half, and he deserved, you know, he got a standing ovation when he finally came off. And I hope, you know, he did a piece in the website afterwards saying how much he was enjoying his football. And I hope that's changed his mind and all this talk of going to a bigger club and everything.
But I think he only wanted to leave, wasn't it? Because he weren't getting football.
And playing,
I think
that's what he said. I'm not getting enough minutes on the pitch, is what he said.
So he is now.
What did you think of Andy Carroll? I mean, he came on.
I think ran around a bit. If he gets fit, we'll be able to sell him. And I found the team for him.
Yeah,
who? Yeah, Crystal Palace. They are desperate for a striker.
They are.
And, you know, I think he would fit right in Crystal Palace's style of play and probably do a term for him. I think his time's up with us, to be fair.
I thought Zaha was a joke. I thought Palace were wasting time as soon as they scored.
Yeah, that was quite funny. Hennessy, the keeper. It seemed at the end of the first half when Palace were 1-0 up, he seemed to take 5 minutes over every goal kick. And yet at the end of the game, he was chasing the ball behind the goal, jumping over the advertising holding to collect it and running back.
Well, that's the second lot I've done that. Cardiff were doing that the other night. Like wasting time. It's just...
Cheats a lot of them.
So it was the return of Chiarte and Tompkins. Was it you, Nigel, who told me Chiarte did a lap of honour at the end?
Yes.
You're going to send me a picture of that, that Chiarte did a lap of honour.
It was quite surreal. I don't know if you were there. At the final whistle, Tompkins turned round and gave the ref, obviously, I couldn't hear what he said, but it was enough for the ref to run after him and book him.
Really?
Tompkins really gave the ref that. Just screamed at that. And there was that. And then, you know, they've all gone up, shook hands. Tompkins shook hands with West Ham. Chiarte's hugging people. The Palace players walked over, clapped the away fans. Chiarte sort of walked to the Palace fans, clapped them, then turned back, walked over to the East End and started clapping the West Ham fans and then walked round in a circle, clapping all the stands before when he was the last one to leave the pitch.
Oh, hilarious.
So maybe he got a good round of applause, though, but it's easy to do that when you've just beat him, isn't it? To be fair. I mean, he was a good servant for us, I think. He was a good player.
Well, he hasn't got that many games. He's not doing anything for Palace, really. I mean, we haven't gone, oh my God.
Yeah, but he's at Palace now, aren't they? They're like, you know, who cares?
I'll tell you what.
Not a press team, are they?
I'll tell you what, we will care if Declan Rice keeps performing like he's performing. Someone will come in January and just blast him.
He's got 2.5 years on his contract. Doesn't
matter. Makes no odds.
You can't leave. Just because you want to, you know.
Someone comes in January, a Chelsea or a Tottenham or someone like that.
Do you know what? Then that wouldn't even matter if he had a new contract or not. Because if someone's going to buy him of that ilk, they can buy him whether he's got a 2.5 year contract or a 5 year contract.
So you know player power and the way it works. And
are you saying that if an offer came in from Man City, or are you saying it matters what contract he's got or how much he's earning?
I would say that if he was on decent money here and signed a new contract recently, he's more likely to say, look, they would do some agreement with him at this stage saying, you go do that 4 or 5 years now. In 2 or 3 years' time, you continue playing how you're playing. We can make you this at this club. Or if someone in the top, whatever, comes in and offers us that, then you can go.
I think that's absolute bollocks. I think if a player wants to go, a player wants to go, and it doesn't matter what contract they've got.
Well, I think
agree with you, player.
If he's doing what he's doing, week in, week out, and getting paid £3 grand a week, or whatever it is.
13 grand a week with his appearance money.
Okay.
And 23 grand last week because there were 2 games. We got 2 lots, yeah, 10 grand, and it's 3 grand.
It's extraordinary money, but it's not in the world that he's in. And I think it's absolutely pathetic by our club, the way they've dealt with him.
I mean, at first I was cautious. So not to do, you know, not to throw silly money at him. I think West Ham, I'm still adamant West Ham made him a sensible offer for the situation that we were in and that he was in. But with every game he plays, it is a worry. Because that boy's going to go to the top. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to go, you know. I didn't see Bobby Moore play, obviously, when he first came on the scene. I see Rio play, and I'd have him above Rio for where Rio was at the start of his career.
The way Declan Rice is performing. I mean, it is incredible. We did a Clanton Hugh poll yesterday. Who's your West Ham player of the season so far? And Rice, absolutely, over 2,000.
Yeah, I see it.
36%, nearly 37% went for Rice, followed by Fabianski, who got 21. Diop got... and then Snodgrass
Got see, I voted Snodgrass, and he was second when I voted for him.
Wait, you voted on the new poll?
Well, the thing is, if you want to see what the scoring is, but what it is, I was talking to a mate, and I think I was talking to Dave Atzig, actually, on the phone.
Out of sync.
On this podcast. But anyway, I was talking to him, and he said something about Clarity, and I thought, I ain't been on there all week. So I went and had a look, and there was that poll. So we were talking about Snodgrass. So I said, well, look, let me vote for Snodgrass and see what the result is. And, yeah.
I think Snodgrass has done really well.
I'd give him an award. At football, we used to have most improved player. So you'd have, like, the player of the year and then the most improved player. And, perhaps they can have that at the end awards when they div out the... in May.
Yeah. okay.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I went to the supporters, new supporters board, what you call the SAB, but it's called the West Ham United Supporters Board, last week, and the minutes are now published, so I can talk public about these. So part of the big things to come out, a London Stadium fan zone plans are underway to do something like Man City, just outside the stadium.
Oh, I thought you meant invest loads in the team and do really well.
No, a fan zone.
Just the outside of the stadium.
Just fan zone, we won't go in because we're members of the supporters club. Right.
And of course... the pitch surround is just about to be ordered. We've got the samples through and it will be in early part of next year for the end of the season. I bet you can't wait for that either, Nigel.
She ain't gone Laura Ashley, is she?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, we're not going to have like all like claret flowers and stuff like that, no?
No. And the final bit of news was West Ham are going to sell 2,000 more season tickets, 1,000 general sale. The first game with 60,000 will be 2nd of January, which is the Brighton game, as long as they get sign-off for the safety certificate. But a lot of people are already saying, well, you can't fill the ground at the moment. And in fact, Palace was another example. In my estimation, there was about 49,000. So there was probably about 8,000 missing, based on what they've told us on other ground.
I did see a story that there were people turned up at the Cardiff game to buy tickets before the match and were turned away because it was all sold out.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
And John, how full was it for Cardiff?
Oh, mate, it was embarrassing. It
looked bad on the telly.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. Yeah, it's a whole farce, this seat situation. So many empty seats every single game. Even like when you get the cities and that come into town, there's 70 seats.
But I think the thing that they've not learned, if they're selling 2,000 for season tickets, then they've not learned that the problem they've got is they sold too many season tickets. and too many child season tickets. We know how they did the deal. And once they've done the deal, you've got to rely on people giving them up, and they're not giving them up. And it looks like they're going down the same road again. All they're bothered about, not bothered about who's in the ground. They're not. All they're bothered about is, can we sell that seat, whether it's sat in or not? They are not bothered, I'll tell you that now.
All they want is that 60K figure against their attendances, whether they're full up or not.
Yeah, that's it. That's all they're bothered about. And they'll have a, you know, a thing at the end of the season. Oh, we were third in the league for attendances. We averaged 15, you know,
we'll 8, be the biggest 59, in London. 000. Biggest in London, second.
Well, we won't be, because Tottenham will be.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they will.
No, they won't.
They got 66,000, didn't they?
No, they're 60, not
62,000.
No, I don't think. I think the final thing is just under 60,000. It's 59,999 or whatever. Not.
It's more than
that. All right, I'll check. Well, they haven't even got a safety certificate yet, so it's too early to say.
I've heard that I think they've got Man United in January, and that's what they're targeting.
Mm. The new stadium will have a higher capacity of 61,000, later raised to 62,062.
Well, there you go. Well, and they still need to get a safety certificate. Just going last.
So
last...
do we.
Yeah, we do as well. So talking of supporters club, since we've had the supporters club, we've got a little WhatsApp group going on with the supporters club. There's been a little bit of controversy.
Supporters
with,
club or supporters board?
Sorry, supporters board with an article in The Guardian.
Two articles.
And a statement by WISA, which is a great link to the next point. What's going on at WISA, Nigel?
Is that in the running order?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's in the running order. Have a look.
It is. Come on, what's going on at WISA, Nigel?
You bastard. what can I say? So you got these difficulties with the Supporters Advisory Board. There's
what's the difficulties?
Well, let's face it, West Ham's vetting was...
They don't need any vetting. I'm going to defend them on this. It was an independent panel.
No. Right, let's get this right. The article said, West Ham said it was independent, yeah? Cole, Trevor Brooking, the supporters club, are not independent.
And Mandy Lane.
She may be, yeah? But those others are not independent. So it's not
saying
independent.
That, you're saying that... That can't claim in Karen Brady's pocket.
No, what I'm saying is they can't claim it to be independent. They can't use that claim because it's not.
All right, get to your point.
Get to my point. So basically, the chairman of WISA wasn't at the game Saturday. At 1 minute to three, text out a statement in regards to the articles in The Guardian that had been put out. With no discussion, or not that I saw, because obviously I was watching the game and too busy with the game Saturday night, I then find out that the statement's gone live. It's difficult. When you run a committee, you've got to have discussions. You have to. You have to cross the I's, dot the T's, and do all that and make sure it's right. And I've got a lot of differences with the people that are there. And this was just one too many. And I'd had enough and I quit. I resigned. And I feel bad in doing it because a lot of people voted for me in the election. But it just felt I was wasting my time there. And I weren't going to go through it again. And, you know, the message I got... from the chairman, where he said, you know, if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. You know, shame you've done that again, he said. And I put, well, I was left no choice, but never, you know, rest assured I don't make the same mistake three times. Which, you know, WISA will do what WISA do.
Yeah.
At the last meeting, we spent longer talking about food banks than we did about, you know.
I just think they're in self-destruct. Look, I don't wish them any ill because we were part of their creation many years ago and they were reborn again. But, you know, There is, what, they've lost five committee members, by my calculation. I won't name them all, since the summer, including us two, three other ones, maybe possibly, that haven't been announced.
Yeah.
It's just shocking, and it just shows that the committee is dysfunctional at the moment, and I really fear that they've lost sight of their members. I really do, and I think that's really sad.
I mean, the statement, it, for me, it was saying something for the sake of saying something. For those that don't know, should we allude to it or whatever? I don't want to name the man, but basically someone on the Supporters Advisory Board, the Guardian went to town on him for attending a DFLA march, you know, which was not a banned march, not a banned group. He's entitled to do that. Obviously, the Guardian are a left-wing newspaper and want to make a meal out of it. You know, I've got different objections to the reason why the man should be on the board, and none of them are to do with the DFLA, but that's up to the club. If he's passed through their system, I'll always argue that they shouldn't use the word independently chosen, but if he's passed through the system, that's up to the club to deal with it then, isn't it?
Yeah.
It shows us in a bad light, though.
In a bad light?
Well,
Whistler or the club? Or...
No, the club, I think.
I mean, Whistler's a busted flush, isn't it? It's the whole thing. Yeah. It's just pointless. It's got no voice. It's got no one's listening to it.
It's hard when you're trying to represent a fan base that's divided, and this is the problem. At the last meeting, you know, there was about 20 people there, and I spoke out against a food banks, and I was in the minority in the room, and that stunned me. You know, I'm sitting there going, you know, we shouldn't have nothing to do with them. We should just concentrate on what's right for fans. You know, leave food banks to the politicians. Whistler should just concentrate on representing fans. That's it. And people from the floor were saying, well, no, we should be doing this and we should be doing that. And it was just, you know, then that statement was the final straw for me. The lack of discussion. I had it in the past with previous chairmen who just treated it like it was their fiefdom.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think you would go that far in saying all everything, but yeah, I think it had to be said, you know, as said, because
I'm nothing, you know, honest.
My one was quite well announced, but as I say,
not announced mine, did they?
Yeah, I didn't know you'd gone, Nigel. When did that happen? Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
There wasn't a big announcement, was there?
No, but then again, that proves my point when I argued about when Sean quit. When I had big arguments behind the scenes and took it personal, the people that did things, they made a big thing of Sean leaving, not because he was a member of Whistler Committee. They made a thing of leaving because it was Sean Whetstone. You know, rightly or wrongly, Sean had been elected to be on that committee. He got the second most votes, so more than anybody others, certainly more than the person that took great delight in announcing Sean had gone. And that led to problems with me there straight away. Not that I like defending him, but it had to be done.
You don't have to.
I don't. So, before we move on to Facebook and Twitter and find out how well Nigel did in the Super Six, he forgot to put his entry in for Saturday.
So did I.
George did very well. Let's talk about the Jack Sullivan documentary, which I haven't finished watching, but I started watching on when you used lot told me about it. And I've only watched the first 15 minutes, but I don't get what the problem is. Can you explain to me? I'm going to be shouting down here, John. What's the problem with this documentary?
It's crass as you can get. It starts off with like Sullivan being announced as the billionaire owner of West Ham United, one of the richest men in the country.
Well, that's
and
true.
We all know that he's bemoaning the fact that he's spent 100 million this summer. So, you know, the whole thing is just cringeworthy. embarrassing. You got a, some petulant little kid who's just been
given
a football.
More than Harry and Harry Redknapp eating bugs in the jungle.
Harry Redknapp is a national treasure, Sean. Don't we all know what we think about Harry Redknapp, but that's got nothing to do with it.
It's TV. It's entertainment, right?
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It was BBC Three. Do West Ham fans really care? They know he's rich. Right,
I won't watch anymore, and that's simple. But that's what I sent you that thing right at the beginning, where they announced how much wealth Sullivan is, what he's worth, and all this.
That's true.
So,
George, do you have a view on this, or is it harmless fun?
I haven't seen any of it, and I probably won't even watch it, because by the sounds of it, it's just going to wind me up.
It will.
Nigel, you're the word of wisdom. You're going to protect wisdom. You're an old sage. You're going to say, doesn't matter what Sullivan does. It's not about football. It's about women's football, getting women's football on the map and following a 19-year-old. Is he 18 or 19 now? I think he's 19. A 19-year-old lad who's trying to get his first job. And yes, he's got a billionaire as a dad. Wouldn't you be asking for a football club and enjoying all the things he did if David Sullivan was your dad, Nigel?
I don't think I'd ask for a women's football club for a start. Women's football is irrelevant.
I don't think he did first time, by the way. I think he asked for another club, but that's another story.
Well, you know, what does it say that a 14-year-old boy can ask his mum, can you buy me a football club for a start? And she pats his little head and says, of course you can, Jack. Anything you like, Jack.
And then get a television crew to film it.
Like, only the Sullivans would do this. You know, the self-promotion. The fact that, thankfully, it is a women's football club, so it is irrelevant.
Oh, what a thing to say.
You can't say that. Look, we don't talk about women's football.
You can't say that.
Just because people, you know, probably 75% of people normally agree with me. Who cares about women's football?
The views of Nigel Kahn are not necessarily those of more than just a podcast.
One thing used to annoy me, I used to find it a waste of 2 pages of the programme. Who cares?
Oh, I think
they don't even play in West Ham.
It's a very politically charged podcast this evening.
Well, it's a fact. But anyway, it just exposed the height of chavviness of people that run our football club. And I won't say what I thought of his mum.
I like Jack. I think I've seen Jack doing a lot of growing up. I've met Jack a number of times. And I think he's trying to do his best. He's going to be our chairman one day, right? So this is his.
I look forward to that documentary. I tell you,
this is getting his feet wet, making his mistakes on the women's football team, so he can learn to take over from David Sullivan, senior one day. Make no mistake that he will be our chairman one day.
Do you genuinely believe that running a women's football club from the ground up is really a way to? Learn the ropes to take over.
I think
Premier League.
Yeah, I do. I think it will be. God. I mean, I do. Yeah, I think that running a football club is running a football club, and you learn the reason
running
he
running women's football clubs is the same as running. How did West Ham get promoted, by the way, into the Premier League?
Well, money.
Oh,
but
yeah,
that's
of course.
Not the,
yeah, that's a great preparation.
Anyway, let's move on from this. Before we go to question time, I did promise to tell the story that we did tell the listeners. So on Saturday night, about 20 past midnight, I got an email from David Sullivan saying, when was the last time we won 3 in a row? When's the last time we won 4 or 5 in a row? The Sun have got it wrong. They're saying 1982. So I asked Nigel, Aristorian, and sent it back to DS and said, there you go. And he sent back, I knew you would know, you would be a man in the know, and gave Nigel no credit whatsoever. True or not, Nigel? I'm giving you the credit
that
now.
That is very true, yes. But to notice the fact that you gave it to him and he complimented you, I did want no credit.
Yeah. Anyway, so the last, let's see if you can remember what you told me. The last time someone won four in a row was?
Which Sam manager, what year? February 2014, wasn't it?
Correct. Last person to win five in a row.
Harry Redknapp.
Yeah. Last person to win six or more in a row.
John Lyle. In 85, 86. I think it was 85. I think it was nine in a row.
Well done. 100 points.
I believe, actually, that it started around the October up to Christmas.
Anyway, so, you've won your bush trucker.
Anyway, we need to do more Facebook question time.
Yeah.
It would be better if you read them because we could probably do it in like less than 10 minutes.
Okay. On the Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast, and on Twitter @moreTGApodcast, Nigel posted earlier today, podcasting tonight, lads and lassies. Billy Bonds on Friday gave his West Ham 11 that he played with. Parks, Stewart, Dix, Moore, Martin, Devonshire, Brooking, Bonds, Peters, Pop Robson, Jeff Hurst. Manager, John Lyle. That's 12. Can you better that, or is that the pinnacle of a West Ham 11? Other thoughts welcome, of course, in regards to the West Ham victory you're rolling on. What?
Victory tour, rolling on.
Richard Dodsey.
Dodsey.
Well, I think I'm up in time. 5:34 a.m. Kiwi time. Thought the game was average. However, we'll take three in a row all day long. And I really do think the boss will go on to become one of the best managers ever. Although stiff competition versus Lyle and Greenwood. That's a big shout. Anderson getting better with every game. Rice awesome. Just give him the bloody contract. Questions for us. Will Reed get back in the team?
No.
No.
Is his time up with us, do you think?
Cup games.
Yeah.
Does Lanzini get back in the team? Yes.
Yes.
And do you believe Arnie, like the Terminator film, do the voice shed man, I will be back?
I'll be back.
Or is he gone and the injury is just protecting the Dildo Brothers investment?
I think he'll hang around till the end of the season.
Yeah, me too. Oliver Stapley says missing Razvan Rat from the 11. He didn't play with him, though. My worst West Ham 11 that he's seen, says Matthew Kemp. Alan McKnight, Gary Charles, Rigobert's song, Gary
Whoa,
Green.
Whoa, whoa, stop.
Rigobert's song.
I'm not having that. You decent. Can't say Gary Charles. Sorry.
He's a mate of yours, isn't he?
We went to school together. You can't put him... That boy dreamed of playing for West Ham, and he did it. We both dreamed of playing for West Ham, and he managed it. So, carry on now.
Ragvald Soma. Kieran Dyer, T.T. Kamara, Joey Beauchamp. Never even heard of him.
Beauchamp.
Well, you've only seen him in a friendly. Go on.
Benny McCarthy, Savio Nazareko, and Nigel Kwasi. Nigel Kwasi was legendary. Nick Harvey says we can now have the three cheers for the three wins.
Hooray.
Wouldn't disagree with Bonzo's team. All of those were great servants of the club. Yet another supporters board, yet more promises that the board will listen and act on fans' feedback. Heard it all before. Yawn, yawn, yawn.
Hear, hear.
Alan Oliver says, interestingly, picked Dix in front of Lampard Senior.
He did say why. He said it was close, but he just thought Dix edged it in the talent and the way he moved forward and carried the ball.
Gary Prince, this is a good one. Hi, a work colleague of mine met Sean at a school event last week. He was telling him how he was friends with Brady, and he runs West Ham's favourite fans website. Is this what Sean does in his spare time?
When was this? A school event?
Yeah.
Apparently. I thought you'd left school, Sean.
Sean's like blagging everyone in.
What school event was that?
makes a change from walking around going dirty girl to people, isn't it?
Oh, it probably was a school Christmas party for Shireen's
school. I didn't know you ran KUMB, though. I thought...
Taffy Wallback says, no, can't do any better than that. Manu was the live game here, so decided to have an early night. Waking up to the notifications of a West Ham win had me buzzing all day on Sunday. He goes on to talk about Pellegrini. What you guys think? I agree with Pellegrini. We as a club need to change our mentality. Oh, I should probably have read his thing. We've got loads here. Billy Hardy, what more can you ask for? Attacking football, three goals, quality finishes and a bit of drama at the end. Frightening to think how good a fully fit squad could be with Arnie Lanzini, Wilshere, Yarmolenko, Sanchez, Reed, Fredericks, Creswell as well, as possibly Nasri to choose from. Also,
did
I don't...
Billy write all that?
He did, yeah.
Well done, Bill. No one says your education's wasted, certainly I won't.
Also, don't think I've ever seen a player look so ordinary when written off, then change it around so much like Snodgrass has. What a player. I agree.
Yeah.
Roger Markham, this is going to be a quick one. Does anyone feel at home at the OS?
No. Yes.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Marion Williams says, great to witness three wins on the bounce. Never thought I would be happy with mid-table mediocrity. Will the new SAB, or whatever it's called, be questioning why our great Intertoto victory is not included in the Ring of Honour at the London Stadium, along with Harry's victory on I'm a Celebrity?
I think we could add those into the Honours Board. That's a really good... King of the Jungle 2018 Intertoto. Yeah, I see that now.
Lewis Ehrentraut says, maybe I was a tad harsh on Pellers after saying I didn't think he was the manager we all thought he was. It's crucial that we keep Javier. Arnie needed the rest, to be fair. Just hope we can keep Anderson fit and even McMessie. That's not gross. Let's not let ourselves down with a loss to Fulham now. I don't think Tomkins is a true Hammers fan, as he celebrates too much for a club he supports. Nobes wouldn't do it. Even Kuyate was respectful and even signed autographs for the home fans at the end of the game. As
he
well
did.
As a,
that was after the lap of honour.
Nathan Wagard says, with the recent rise in form and our strikers scoring goals for fun, aside from the obvious need for fullbacks and Pell's love for Sammy, where do you see the gaps that need filling in the January transfer window?
In the crowd.
Yeah, good one. MTC. Good one. Empty seat.
I don't know. I think.
Sorry, say that.
Is Nasri happening?
I think the gaffer wants him. I'm not sure the board are convinced. So
I don't think we need.
You don't know. You don't know.
I don't know. No. I know there are two positions on this. The gaffer wants him. Maybe. Well. It relates to another problem, which is we're £30 to £40 million in debt this season.
Oh, fuck. Let's move on.
We're going to make a loss.
Oh, dear. Yeah, get it in,
Lily.
Come on.
Over on Twitter, @HammersFan02380 says, question for your podcast. If you had to lose either Declan Rice or Manuel Pellegrini in January, who would you lose?
Ooh. Declan Rice. It's a difficult one.
Yeah. Declan Rice. Right. That's it for Facebook to the question time.
There was someone who asked about, could you do David Gold?
There was, that was a while ago, and we're on 56 minutes, so we're not going to do David Gold question time. We'll do it next week for you, and we'll make sure we give you a shout out.
David Gold.
Nigel, Super 6 update?
Yeah. Okay. Quickly, my mate from Germany says, I enjoy your podcast mostly. Send my regards to your fellow members. Can it be possible that this season I've seen the Irons more often than Sean? He hasn't been very often lately, has he?
But by the way, while you're just saying that, Nigel Kahn nearly out of the top 30 in 29th. George catching him up in 32. I remain 17th in the top 20. Whatever happened to you being in the top 10, Nigel? Go on, do your bit on Super 6 now.
Okay. In 10th spot, David Patnell, 232. Up to 9, Jeffy Smith, 234. Down to 8, Tim Sharman. Luke's dad, 235. I'll wait, George. into seven, Ryan Smith, 236, down to six, Adam from up north in Darlington, 243, also on 243, fifth spot, David Stringer. Into the top four, Bill Walker, 246.
Our friend in row four, in our thanks block.
Into three, Lee Davis, 248. Up to two, Ben White, 251. And at number one, he's still there, old Walt Disley, 264.
The only thing is, at least Nigel being out of the top 20 means he doesn't do the top 20 anymore.
Can I just say, honourable mention, yeah, to this week's winner, my mate Peter Osborne, with 18 points. Especially considering a rare quirk of fate, especially for his household, because in last spot, apart from me because I didn't do it, but in last spot of those that did do it, with 4 points, was Dawn Osborne, his wife. dear Dawny.
Anyway, let's move on to predictions. Well done, everybody. Don't forget, there's a game on Wednesday, so don't forget to put your predictions in.
Done it already.
John.
Done it already.
Right. Predictions for Fulham. A lovely day in West London. Nigel.
2-0 win.
George.
2-1 win.
John.
1-0 win.
And I'll go for a 3-0 win to carry it on. There you go.
We always used to do Fulham, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. None of us are going, I don't think.
I've got a ticket.
Ooh. Anyway, it's goodbye from me. Goodbye. It's goodbye from George. Goodbye from John.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Nigel.
See you later.
Bye. You dirty girl.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.